bow our heads. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to be here together as a church family with friends, new friends, people we maybe haven't met before. We're thankful that we can come and worship you freely. I ask you to be with us throughout this service. Receive a blessing from being here. We ask this in your name, amen.
I want you to invite you to open up your scriptures to Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation chapter 3, and we are going to read verses 14 and 15. Revelation 3, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot."
There's a war going on. If you listen to those in Washington, you'll hear about a war against ISIS, but it's not very close to your mailbox. It's mostly in a foreign country, or at least the visible parts of it are. And it affects us a little bit. The fringes of our life, maybe they've taken away some freedoms and they've monitored us in a greater way. There definitely has been some changes, but your everyday life has not changed dramatically to do with that war. But there's another war going on. And Mike, you're involved. Lori, Lloyd, Seth, Kristen, Dan, every single person is involved in this war. And it's a war. You know, I often hear people say it's a war for your soul. It's a war to prevent you from having eternal life. It's a war. You've heard the statement, misery loves company. It's a war for you to join the misery of those who don't have the opportunity we have. Have you ever seen someone get a nice present or getting ready to go on a nice trip and someone else, an acquaintance, a family member, whatever, is ugly about it? They wish they could have it or take part in it, and so they're a little bit irritable and miserable that it's not them. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and those in dark places. Those in dark places want to take away your possibility for eternal life. End of story. That's the ultimate goal, to have you join in the misery as opposed to join in the peace and the possibilities for the future. So if we really believe a war is going on and it involves all of us, that means that Jim over here and Marty means James, John, Jim, Eleanor, Sherry, means we've all been recruited and we're taking part in that war. Not just a watching part to see what happens on TV, a long ways from home. I mean to tell you, you got a uniform on, and you play a big part in this war. When it doesn't strike exactly close to home, and we hear about battles taking place and everything, we listen to it and pass the toast. You know, don't forget to fill the car up with gas. Life goes on. But when those battles are on your doorstep, it's different. If you thought, Bud, you live right on the shore of Lake Ontario, practically see it from your front porch. Maybe can, I'm not sure. If you knew that ships were coming onto Lake Ontario and were going to send in amphibious vehicles and going to come right up your road, there would be a lot greater emphasis in your life to what was about to happen, because it would be right on your doorstep. Well, this battle that's going on is right on our doorstep. It's not somewhere in a faraway country. And it's not on the West Coast, in Florida. It's right here. It's right in your home. It's right in your life, this battle that's going on. And any of you, Terry mentioned that he likes to read about history. If you've ever read about any battles, sometimes the outcome of that battle can absolutely hinge on one decision, one split-second decision, one hesitancy, one indecisiveness. One bit, and sometimes it hinges on a positive way that someone made a decision and they made it now and they put the order forth and the battle turned as a result of one small thing sometimes, many times. There's been some stories in the Bible about people who hesitated in that battle. In that battle for their life, they hesitated. And Brian frequently, when he's doing Sabbath school or sermon, he mentions lots of times, I looked up a particular word. I wanted to see its full meaning. Does that many times. And I decided to do the same thing this morning, so I'm taking your lead, Brian. To be hesitant, it's the state of being unwilling to do something because of doubt or nervousness. I'm going to read that one more time. Hesitancy, it's the state of being unwilling to do something because of doubt or nervousness. Delay, the period of time when something is postponed. How would you like it if lunch was postponed today? Something immediate in your life. How about you, maybe we're going to get married and your wife or husband said, let's postpone that for a while. How about you took your car to be fixed and the garage called and said, yeah, I've got something more important going on. I'm going to postpone that till next week. I'll let you know when I can start working on it. Period of time when something is postponed. Indecision. And you'll see why I'm reading these three words and these three definitions. Indecision. The inability to make a decision quickly. So often, even in our jobs and in our daily life, to make a decision and say, this is what we're going to do and stick with it. We waver. I believe that every single person here wants eternal life. You're here. You're coming to church to be fed, to hopefully be encouraged spiritually, to see your friends and encourage others, see your family. But deep down, I think every person here has a desire for eternal life. I believe that. And but in that battle, we're hesitant sometimes. We postpone. We delay making a decision quickly. I'd like to read a couple stories from the Bible here. Let's go to Genesis 19, 4 to 26. 14 to 26, I'm sorry. Genesis 19. In this story, it's about Lot. And in, in verse 16, it said, I'll start with 14. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, that's the key point right there. While he lingered, he was hesitant. And I want to read in the spirit of prophecy exactly what it says about that. It says, living in that wicked city in the midst of unbelief, his faith had grown dim. If Lot himself had manifested no hesitancy to obey the angel's warning, but had earnestly fled toward the mountains without one word of pleading, his wife also would have made her escape. Now, there's a case where doubt and hesitancy, indecision, it says, if you read a little more about it, it's in the chapter called The Destruction of Sodom in Patriarchs and Prophets. You read a little bit more about it, it says that they were really reluctant to leave their beautiful home, their wealth, their prosperous life. And it made them, because their faith had grown dim, it made them hesitate, doubt, indecision. He lost his wife as a result of it. Don't make the possibility of losing your family or those that you care about or your friends by having indecision or hesitancy to do with the things we believe and the life that God wants you to live. I can't imagine she would have made her escape had he not pleaded and, oh, can I go to Zoar? It's not too far away. I don't want to go in the mountains. I'm scared. Angels are leading me out of this city and I'm scared. Sorry. The hesitancy and doubt that we continue to exhibit in our life could be for the ruin of someone else. Be faithful. I want to mention another place where there was hesitancy. We'll go to Matthew 27. And the story is, I'm not going to read the entire story, but it's in 13 to 24. Matthew 27, 13 to 24. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things have they witnessed against thee? And he answered to him, never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had them a notable, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, the story goes on and tells about how that he had a lot of hesitancy. And that hesitancy, he did not want to see Christ crucified, period. He did not believe the witnesses, and he called him a just man, an innocent man, specifically an innocent man to the leadership. But his hesitancy, and I'll read what it says in Desire of Ages about that. If at the first Pilate had stood firm, refusing to condemn a man whom he found guiltless, he would have broken the fatal chain that was to bind him in remorse and guilt as long as he lived. Had he carried out his conviction of right, the Jews would not have presumed to dictate to him. Christ would have been put to death, but the guilt would not have rested upon Pilate. But because he was not a man of firm conviction, he hesitated. Well, he didn't want it. You know, I wanted to please these. Well, I'll bring a really wicked guy out, and then for sure what I want to see happen is Christ not crucified. That'll end up happening because you know the people aren't going to choose that guy. I mean, he really was a criminal. Actually, didn't come out too good. He hesitated. He was looking for a way out. He was looking for the easy way. He was convinced. He was convinced he was looking at an innocent man, but didn't have the courage, didn't have the guts to say it, to live with that decision. I think sometimes we don't have the courage to live with the decision we need to make. And by live with it, I mean live with it at work, live with it with your spouse and your children, live with it to do with your finances, live with it to do with how you file your taxes, live with it to do with how you deal with your enemies. God wants us to make a final decision. And I'm not saying that's going to make you faultless immediately, but it is certainly going to put you on a road to forgiveness and to a changed life. God, the Holy Spirit, has recruited us in that battle. And you know, most men, I can relate it to this. Most men, if you were brought into a battle, you couldn't live with yourself to turn your back and run. You couldn't live with yourself. And you may not have, you've been recruited into the battle. You may not have seen the 5-star general that's directing the attack. You may not have seen it. But you do believe he's directing the attack, whether you as a recruited soldier has seen him or not. You believe there's someone directing the attack. We believe that in that battle, victory is possible. It's promised. It's the future. If I told you that, if I told you they were going to land and march right up your street with military vehicles and everything, but I told you that they were going to be met in Mexico by an overwhelming force and be defeated, you'd still prepare. But in your heart, you'd be absolutely rejoicing that you knew the outcome, that they weren't going to press on in and overtake us, that they were going to be stopped. And that needs to be our attitude, that we believe that in this war that we're in, the enemy can be stopped, that we're part of the winning side. God would not have us to... He would not have us to be in a state of being unwilling to do something because of doubt or nervousness, or postpone something. are not able to make a decision quickly. In my business, I've learned a new part of the trade. In fact, they've tested me twice in the past week, some practical, some written tests to see if I can perform what I need to perform to be able to bottle milk correctly. Given me a lot of information. The pasteurized milk order is 556 pages of nice information. So it's been an interesting process. What I want to tell you is that text we read in the beginning about, I would that you weren't lukewarm. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I can tell you that in my business, that cold is better than lukewarm, and hot is better than lukewarm. You know where the most damage can happen to milk? It's 70, 80 degrees. It can be destroyed in an extremely short amount of time. So it's unusable. Terrible. Nobody would want it. You'd spit it out of your mouth. But if I heat it up enough, and then for me and my little milk plant, if you heat it up to 140 degrees and you keep it there, level, and I have recording devices that make it an official record, if you keep it there at 140, for the full time allotted, it will be ready to be used then. It will have stayed hot long enough to be ready to be used. If at some point it drops down below that, actually it's 145, if it drops below that 145, you take the sheet out of the recorder, you start all over again, put the sheet back in, start your 30-minute process all over again. If the power goes off, take the sheet out of the recorder, start the process all over again. Anything that deviates from exactly what the rule states, you start over. God doesn't want us to be constantly starting over. He wants us to commit. And for me, my little plant, committing is put the milk in the tank, fire up the boiler, put a chart in, and write down exactly what that time was that I started. And from that point on, keep track of everything, minute by minute, till the task is completed. And I think in a way, spiritually, God wants the same thing. He wants a commitment, minute by minute. He wants us to keep at a firm level committed to Him so that the finished product can be used. That's us. God wants us to be committed to Him to the point where we can be used, where we're faithfully committed every moment of every day. We aren't lukewarm, where the milk spoils in a hurry and it's worthless. But we're kept hot till the end of the time period that needs to be. And that is not without its times of difficulty, but it is with a full confidence of what the outcome is. God has promised what that outcome is, and He wants to use us on a daily basis, hourly, minute by minute, commitment to Him. So let's think about the opposite of state of unwilling to do something because of doubt or nervousness. How about the state of willing to do something regardless of doubt or nervousness, or a period of time when something is postponed, a period of time when something is done now? You know, that's what God is calling us to do, to not be hesitant in our spiritual life, but fully commit. Not have those little pockets in our life where, well, I'll eventually decide that. I will eventually come to that decision. I'm going to postpone it right now because there's some things in my life that, you know, they don't quite line up with what God wants me to do. Let's get off the doubt, the hesitancy, or we may find ourselves in Lot's position or Pilate's position. And I don't say that out of, oh, so I'm going to scare you into being. I'm telling you, these are true stories. And the outcome was partially because they were hesitant. Let's us not be hesitant. Let's make the full commitment. Stand up. Be the recruit we're recruited to be faithful to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we know the outcome of this battle, and it is a daily battle. Help us not to hesitate, doubt, postpone, but to commit all the way. Know who the leader is. Know who the captain of this ship is. And be on it, heading into shore. We pray this in your name, amen. Thanks.